Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Wow. That's pretty good. I think the Philadelphia Eagles and the Philadelphia Phillies would welcome your enthusiasm. I want to welcome each and every one of you to worship this morning. This is the moment when we have been called, we've been gathered to center, to be reminded of who our Creator and Sustainer is, and to celebrate love and the fact that this world is being held by a power greater than ours. And so we come on this Sunday faithfully to listen, to learn, to relate, and to be reminded of an unstoppable love. So if you are visiting with us this morning, we wholeheartedly welcome you. There is a little card in the pew rack that you can fill out to let us know who you are, and we would love to be in touch with you and tell you a little bit more about who we are. We have some announcements this morning, and I'd like to invite our church president, Liz Rivett, to come forward.
Good morning. You have been hearing this, but repetition makes it stick in your head. So there's two things I wanted to share with you this morning. One is a reminder that in 2 weeks, on June 25th, following the 9:30 service, we are going to have a congregational meeting. The meeting will take place downstairs in Assembly Hall. So after the service, we'll do our visiting, and then we'll head down to Assembly Hall to hear a couple of topics that I think are going to be of interest to you. One is about the plans for Addie's sabbatical. So Addie and the elders will talk a bit about what we're envisioning for that time as an opportunity for all of us to look at our faith and our church family through some different eyes and celebrate and make plans for what we'll do during that time period. Mark Bruin and the visioning team will be providing an update on visioning process, and we're going to start to share a few of the themes that we've come through. It's really exciting, I think, to see the data. We're nowhere near ready to present results, but we do want to share some of the insights that we're gathering in some ways, because it'll help shape what we do during our time when Addie's away as well, and some upcoming exciting things that are going to be planned. The ministerial staff, I don't want to give it away, but there's a really exciting opportunity that the ministerial staff is going to share on how we might think differently about our worship, or in addition to what we normally do, so stay tuned for that. Matt and Grace from our finance committee are going to provide an update on our mid-year finances. So please do join us. And by the way, there's a time for open comment, or if there's any other topics that you are interested in, anything that's concerning, exciting, that you think would be beneficial to share in that forum, you can reach out to Mark Bruin or myself to suggest those topics, or you're welcome to bring them on the day. We are going to have a time for some open comment. Of course, after that, we're not going to hold you for too long, but we're filling the gap, because after that, we will go over to Plains Mennonite Church for the church picnic. If you can, please sign up, just so that we are able to have enough food for the main courses that the deacons are going to prepare for us and some of their helpers. There's a sign-up sheet out here, and I think in the narthex as well. If you could just sign up, let us know that you'll be there. Not required, but certainly helpful for planning purposes. And we're going to be over there around noon. Also, if you have an interest in helping, the deacons are short in terms, we're still looking for a few deacons, if you have an interest in that, but also some help on the day. Scott Vandenberg is coordinating that effort. We're not in any desperate need of people, but if you have an interest mainly around setting up or making sure we can get all the food that starts here and ends up over there, that would be very helpful. So thank you so much. Exciting way to really kick off the summer, and I look forward to seeing you all at those two events in 2 weeks.
Thank you, Liz. So each week, we attempt to make sure that you know what's going on at St. John's. In the inside back cover of your bulletin, you will find a list of announcements, information that is important for you to know, such as the fact that there is a visioning session today following worship. And here's the one I really want you to key in on today, and that is the St. John's Basket Raffle. Can you say basket raffle? There you go. So downstairs in the fireside room, you can view these baskets. You can purchase your tickets. So go ahead and take a look. Also, on the very back cover of your bulletin is a very nice description of Growing in Faith, our Vacation Bible School for 2023. You will see there are three opportunities to get your hands dirty, to get all ages involved, and there is a sign up in the elevator lobby for that. Also, speaking of Garden of Health, there is a second Garden of Health Volunteer Day. This is in addition to VBS, and that will be held on June 14th at the garden itself, and that is in Hatfield. So I think we have covered the announcements. You are informed. We hope you read these and think about getting involved. So now we're going to shift to the reason we're here. And I want you to just to take a moment to take a deep breath. Be reminded that the God who created us all gives us this breath of life. It is our breath, a holy breath, a precious breath. Let us worship.
I invite you to join me in our responsive call to worship. In faith, Abraham and Sarah set out for a new land. In faith, we too seek to follow God in our lives. In faith, the church continually seeks to understand what tasks God has set before us now. In faith, we gather to worship, knowing that being in relationship with God means that we are always being made new. Give us the faith, O God, to go forward and embrace the newness to which you call us. Amen. A little bit different this week, we're having a responsive prayer of confession, so I invite you to follow along and to join us. Together we confess our sins. Holy God, you promise us a life full of abundance and blessing. But when things get challenging or don't meet our expectations, our faith wavers. You encourage us to hope and keep hoping, but we give up too quickly and fall back into fear. You urge us to give freely, but we struggle to let go and cling to what we have. You call us to listen and watch for you in all times and places, but we get distracted and absorbed in our own busy lives. Forgive us, God. Increase our capacity to hope, enlarge our hearts, and keep us alert to the wonders you work in the world every day. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Friends, when we come before God to name and claim and confess our sins and our mistakes, we are refreshed, revived, and renewed by God's grace. Because of Christ's love for us, we are able to live as ones who are forgiven and freed. May those gifts change us and shape the way we live and act in this world. Amen. Please be seated.
I want to take a couple moments to introduce you to this summer's worship theme. It's exciting. We will be spending this summer in the book of Genesis. Now, the first 11 chapters of Genesis are about, well, first of all, creation, right? And then you know the stories, the story of Cain and Abel, a story of murder, a story of wickedness and a flood, and then the Tower of Babel, in which human beings, you know, want to make a name for themselves. So by the end of chapter 11, God is like, ugh, these human beings, I don't know if this is going to work. Then in chapter 12, through the rest of Genesis, is this incredible story about a family. A family that we are now a part of. Now, let me tell you, just to set the stage here, my grandfather used to climb hills. He was born in 1903, but he used to climb hills. They were motorcycle races up mountains on an Indian motorcycle. My grandmother was a party girl. My other grandfather painted the hospital that I was born in. In fact, he told me once that he started at one end of the hospital, and by the time he finished, he had to go back to the beginning and start again. My grandmother, his wife, had 9 children. We all have these incredible family stories. Well, what we're being introduced to today is this incredible, crazy story that begins with a man named Abraham. And this story has all kinds of interesting plots. And there's some trickery and deceit. Let me say it this way, some real family problems that we will explore this summer. So we're beginning here. This is a new beginning, chapter 12 of Genesis. And by the way, this summer we thought we would focus on one text alone. The Genesis readings are usually longer. Today's is not that long, but they can be lengthy. But you are in for the ride of a lifetime. It's a really exciting book, and I hope we all learn and benefit from it. So hear these words, chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot and all the possessions that they had gathered and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. And when they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak at Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward the Negev. This is the word of Scripture. Think about this. These were Jesus' scriptures. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. Gotta put that down. How are you? Good. So, what is this? It's a suitcase. This suitcase has been a lot of different places. I want to ask you, let's make believe for a minute, okay? Let's make believe that you are going to move away from where you live now. Okay? This is make believe. And you're going to move to a place far away. Okay? What are you going to put in your suitcase? You're not going to go back home, right? Because you're going to be moving far away, and you need to take everything that you need. What do you want to take with you?
Clothes.
Yes, clothes is good. Yes, clothes is a good thing.
Toiletries.
Yeah, I got a little thing right here for my toiletries. Absolutely, clothes and toiletries. What else? Shoes. Yeah, I think so. I actually got a little. Let me see here. I think I have a little section here for shoes in my suitcase. Believe it or not. Yeah. Yeah. See here. This is where the shoes go. Right in there. See that? Well, that's good. What else? Yes.
Stuffies.
What is it?
Stuffies.
I knew that somebody was going to put their stuffed animals. Stuffies, you call them. Okay. I knew that you were going to pack stuffed animals. How many?
Seven.
Okay. It's going to be a lot of stuffed animals and shoes on the trip. What else are you going to take? This is like, and that's only so big. Sunglasses. This is such a sharp, that's a really smart answer. Yes. Love. Yeah, we're going to have a lot of love. Toothpaste. We got to have toothpaste. Yeah, we don't want bad breath when we're traveling. What else? Danny, what would you put in your suitcase? Your shoes? The ones that light up on the bottom, right? Danny's got special shoes. What's that? Oh, you have light up shoes too. Okay. Yep. All right. Anything else?
Snacks.
Gotta have the snacks. Gotta have snacks. Books? Yeah, you're gonna bring books? All right, here's a harder question. What are you going to leave behind? Your house. Yes. Yeah, that's going to be hard.
Your friends.
Your friends. Yes, your house, your friends. What else are you going to leave behind?
Furniture.
Furniture. Yeah. Danny, are you going to leave anything behind? Nope, you're going to take it all. Absolutely. Yeah.
Family.
You know what? These are really, really important answers because that's exactly what our character in the Bible, his name is Abraham. It's exactly what Abraham did. He and his wife, and they had a bunch of people with them, including his nephew. They left where they were living. And it's a place that we know of in modern day Turkey. Have you ever heard of the country named Turkey? Well, they were living there in Turkey. And God said to Abraham, hey, Abraham, I want you to leave all of your friends. I want you to leave your house.
I want you to leave the furniture. And I want you to go to where I tell you I want you to go. Did Abraham say yes or no? He said yes. Do you know why he said yes? He trusted God. So for all of us, there are times in our life when we have to move. We have to go somewhere else. We have to go to a new school. Or maybe we move to a new house. Or we have to make new friends. Or something happens where we have to make a change. But what we do is always trust God. And you know what happened? God did some amazing things for Abraham. And we're going to learn about those later. So remember, and Carolyn, I loved what you said earlier about packing love. Because I don't care where you go in this world, if you pack love, you're going to be okay. All right, everyone, let's say a prayer. Dear God, sometimes you ask us to move. Sometimes you want us to do a new thing. Sometimes we have to leave some things behind, but you promise us new things, good things. And when we go, we are always going to trust you and take love. Amen. Would you help me as together we say the Lord's Prayer right now? Okay. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you all so very much.
I invite you to be with me in prayer. Loving God, as we pause now on our journeys of faith, we think about what it means to move with you. God, I pray that your word might be in the midst of mine and that that word might fall upon ears and hearts and minds that are open, that are receptive, and that are willing. Amen. It's moving day for Abraham. Now, how many of you, when I mention moving day, twitch a little bit? Or kind of want to just curl up and hide? Statistics say that most people in this room have either moved in the past 5 years or will be moving in the next 5 years. And I have had enough conversations with enough of you in this room to know that that is true. Moving day and all the many logistics and feelings of stress and anxiety and excitement and anticipation and dread that come with it is currently or has recently been on the mind of many of you. Now, I grew up in the same home my mom grew up in, and the literal generations of beloved junk in their attic that will, of course, become my beloved junk, prove that moving is not something I was very familiar with for a lot of my life. That is, until I received a call to serve this lovely church in Lansdale. Since then, I've moved 4 times in 9 years. Why? Why? Well, why do any of us move ever? After all, moving is third on a very short list of the most stressful life events we can endure. We move because we need to, because our needs change, because opportunities present themselves, because we're thinking ahead, because our reality requires us to, because where we are no longer serves us, because we cannot always stay where we have been. Moving is a reality of our life today, but that's also true of people in the Bible. Have you ever noticed how people in the Bible are rarely ever in one place very long? When you read through Scripture, it's hard to find anyone who is seriously listening to and being used by God who isn't on the move at one time or another. Noah set sail. Moses walked in the wilderness. The disciples uprooted themselves when Jesus called. I laughed out loud when I read this thought from a commentator who writes, "I'm still looking for the verse that says, 'And so-and-so laid around his house for 30 years and became a great man of faith.'" "I don't think I'll find it," he says. And the truth is that the lives and stories of these biblical nomads tell, what they tell us is that faith is discovered along the way. That God is on the move, and as unsettling as that may be for us homebodies of the world, God calls us to move too. Where? Wherever God calls. When? Whenever God calls. More often than not, faith requires going without knowing. And that was certainly the case for Abraham, who we read about in Genesis this morning. Now, as Reverend Dale explained before reading our scripture, this summer we are taking a look at the roots of our faith, specifically in the book of Genesis. How God has called and equipped and moved through the people of every generation, and how we fit into this long line of faithful followers. There is something very inspiring and comforting to me to realize that the story of our faith from the very beginning is a story of movement, of growth and change and discomfort and discovery. I think we often think of days gone by as ones of stability and stay-putness in comparison to our busy, fast-paced world of today, but really, God's people have always been going somewhere. There is a lot that happens in Genesis before we meet up with Abraham, as Reverend Dale said. Abraham, meaning exalted father, I'm sorry, Abram, meaning exalted father, who will later become Abraham, father of multitudes. Through the first 11 chapters of Genesis, God's work with humanity has been on a grand scale and marked by several starts and stops. God creates, God entrusts, God teaches, God covenants, and all along the way, at every turn, humans do human things. They don't listen, they destroy, they doubt, they miss the point entirely. Over and over and over again. So as Reverend Dale said, by the time we get to chapter 12 of Genesis, God thinks, I need to do something different here. So instead of painting with a broad brushstroke, God narrows the view. There are some challenges with that, though. At the end of chapter 11, we get a genealogy that runs down through Terah and his son, Abram. We're told in the midst of that listing that Abram was married to Sarai, eventually renamed Sarah, who was barren. So at the end of chapter 11, we know that Abram is at the end of the line as far as the genealogy goes, and unless something changes, he's at the end of the line, period. His wife not able to give him a son. Abram and Sarai have no potential to continue their lineage. A dead end. Now, many of us have studied enough scripture to know that God must love, or at least have a soft spot, for dead ends. God is drawn to them. perhaps because it gives God a chance to turn our world upside down. Moses led the Israelites to the shores of the Red Sea, but couldn't get across. Dead end. Jesus, the Messiah, gets crucified and buried in a tomb. Dead end. Abram and Sarai, who are supposed to be fruitful and multiply, are burdened with barrenness. Dead end. That leads us to where we are this morning, chapter 12, when God, creator of the world and everything in it, invests in one particular person, in one particular family, and promises them two things. God promises to lead Abram to a new land and to make him a great nation. Sounds wonderful. But again, there are some problems. Not that being 75 is a problem, but Abram is 75 when we meet him, not necessarily one who is eagerly awaiting his next big adventure. He's a prosperous businessman who is no doubt well known to many people. He's married to Sarah, and they obviously have no children, as she is unable to bear them. But as far as we know, Abram is not looking for God. And he certainly isn't looking to move to follow God, and he certainly isn't producing multitudes of offspring to create a great nation for God. Another dead end. And yet, God calls him. Despite the many reasons not to, God calls and says, go. Reminds me of last week, doesn't it? Last week, we talked about Jesus' great commission to his disciples and how he commissioned them for a co-mission to be and make disciples. We were reminded that Jesus didn't wait until conditions were perfect and the disciples were ready and trained and had all their ducks in a row. He called them to go. And today's story, Abraham's story, is no different. Would you have gone? Would you have gone? I would like to say yes, but to be honest, I'm pretty comfortable and settled, and I like being comfortable and settled, and I'm not even 75. Moving is risky. It was for Abram. Moving involved not just uprooting his family, but moving his livestock and business and workers. It also meant leaving behind his hometown and family and friends, all of whom didn't ascribe to these beliefs that he was giving up everything for. And they probably thought he was crazy. So then why did Abram go? Didn't he know that moving was the third most stressful thing, event one can go through? Wasn't he afraid he'd get lost geographically and socially and spiritually? I guess at the end of the day, he went because God said, go. But here's the thing, God didn't just say go. God said, go to the land, I will show you. Which means Abram wasn't going alone. God is packing a bag and accompanying Abram on this journey. Another co-mission. Another great promise to go along with a great commission. God would be with him. I recently read a really wonderful metaphor for God that has stuck with me, and I wanted to share it this morning in light of what we're learning about God in this lesson. The metaphor is that God is like a tour guide. There's a major difference between a travel agent and a tour guide. A travel agent will help you plan your trip, book your travel, find hotels, but when it's time to leave, your travel agent says bon voyage and stays behind. A tour guide goes with you. A tour guide knows all the sights to see and places to avoid and tips and tricks and shortcuts. If you get stranded in a strange land, a travel agent is nowhere to be found, but a tour guide is right beside you. God is a tour guide, not a travel agent. Doesn't that change your willingness to say yes, knowing that you're not alone to navigate uncharted territory? So knowing deep within that God, the tour guide, is with him, Abram goes. And thank God he does. Like many of us, I imagine Abram might have had a moment where he too evaluated why he needed to say yes and move. But I suspect he came to the conclusion many of us have. He went because he needed to, because an opportunity presented itself, because he was thinking ahead, because reality required him to, because where he was no longer served him, because he knew he could not stay where he was and still follow this God on the move, the God whose voice called him. I know Abram could have said no, and so could we, I suppose. The metaphor of the life of a journey of faith is a challenge to our modern ideologies, which yearn for this settlement and security and placement. And yet, if we stay put too long spiritually, we begin to think that God stays put too. We begin to think that God has become as stagnant as our own beliefs, locked in and unbending. But God is so much more fluid than that. God is still speaking, still challenging, still moving. If we are too comfortable, too secure, too tightly grasped on our sense of control, we too may find ourselves at a dead end. But luckily, God transforms dead ends. Now, I do want to be clear, I am not suggesting we all go home and put our houses on the market. I know that many of you who have just moved are probably shooting daggers at me with your eyes. But the notion of following doesn't need to be geographical, although for Abram it was. We are and have always been called to be followers from the very beginning, which by name itself inspires this sense of movement and going and motion. I believe God is constantly calling people who are settled in a variety of ways on pilgrimages and down new roads in a variety of ways. I believe God often calls us, both as individuals and as communities, to keep moving. Not to get permanently settled and comfy and pretend that we don't have to listen for God's call or act upon it for as long as our giant stone building stands. And yes, going, moving, following, it's all risky, even painful, because there's no ironclad guarantee that everything will always be all right. Sometimes, most times, it feels safer to stay in the dead end than to venture down unknown roads. But we are not called to live dead end lives. God transforms dead ends, remember? In fact, making a way where there is no way is sort of God's thing. God promises time and time again in Scripture not to leave us in whatever dead end we find ourselves if we are willing to follow. The good news for Abraham and for us, the truth of this week is the same that it was for the disciples last week, which is a guarantee in the midst of so much unknown in our journey of life and faith, is that God will be with us to the end of the age, to infinity and beyond. And our trust is met with the rich experience of traveling with God through the mountains and valleys of life. As we will see, as we dig deeper into the roots and ancestry of our faith, the road is never easy, and there will be pain and questions and doubts along the way, and there will be times, we long for comfort and security and stability. But like Abram, what choice do we have?
What risk is God asking you to take? What risk is God asking us to take together? Where is God calling us to go, physically, spiritually? How will we respond when we feel God's tug on our heart to move toward or into whatever it is God beckons us toward? Each time I move, I swear it will be the last time I move. But the truth is, I don't believe any of us are called to stay put, at least in our spiritual lives. God is always calling us to go, to hoist our sails, to step on a new path. It may mean leaving something behind that is safe and comfortable. It may be the exciting journey of visioning about the future of our church, the shoots of the roots of our faith we will study this summer. It may be working on a new project or meeting or helping someone you don't know. It may be a scary journey of confronting the trauma of your past or trying to heal a broken relationship. Whatever it is, remember that God is not a travel agent, making plans for your life from behind a desk a million miles away. God is a tour guide, on the ground, in the trenches, going with us into whatever new adventure awaits. Faith is discovered along the way. God is discovered as we go. By going, Abram was blessed beyond measure by God, including a family he never thought he could have. His yes was the beginning of the whole story of his faith and the story of our faith. We may be going without knowing where we are going, but we are not going without knowing to whom we belong. What a blessing! What truth about ourselves, about God, what joy, what abundance might be waiting for us just on the other side of our fear, our hesitation, our place of comfort. Whether or not you have plans to move anytime soon, each day is moving day for us as people of faith and for God, who commissions us to go and who goes with us. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you.
as we enter a time of prayer, I want us to lift up the following people and their families. We continue to pray for Linda Horst, who is at home, and of course for her husband Leroy. We celebrate the fact that Ginny Wilkinson is home. She's at Meadowood. She recently had surgery, and I think she came through with flying colors, because I texted her not too long after, and she was Johnny on the spot back to me. But you know Ginny, so she's got a good, hearty spirit. So we celebrate that. We want you to know that Edna McGinley passed away last week, and we don't have very many details about her passing in terms of arrangements. However, we will let you know as soon as those become clear. In our text this morning, within the first three or four verses, the word bless or blessing is used maybe five times. It's an important word. And as we begin our prayer this morning, I want us to begin in silence. And I want us to think about the ways in which, despite life's challenges and struggles, I want us to really think about the ways in which we have been blessed. So let us now come to God, who is eager to hear us and eager to hold us. Let us pray. O Creator God, whose face moved across the waters at creation, you, God, are a God of blessing, and you have called us to be a people open to your call, to shift direction, at times to make a move, and to follow the one we call Jesus the Christ. God, we realize that finding faith happens while we're on the journey. It's when we're moving. It's when we're engaging. It's in the midst of those challenges and struggles that we discover that you are here present with us, with our families, in our communities, at work, and in our world. This morning, God, we give you thanks for being the God who goes beyond dead ends. You are a God of yes, when so much is spoken in the name of no. You are the God of creative possibilities, of new beginnings, when all seems lost. You appear and show a new direction. You breathe new life. You restore our souls. God, we are wont to hold back, to be cautious, to be careful, or maybe not move at all. So give us the trust we need, the discernment we need, the wisdom we seek. To be alive is to know there are risks, to know that things always don't work out perfectly, and yet we believe that love reigns, that possibilities we did not think exist do exist. Gracious God, on this day, we pray for the family of Edna McGinley, trusting that you hold Edna in the heart of your soul. We pray for Linda Horst and Leroy. We celebrate Ginny Wilkinson. God, this past week we were reminded of how beautiful the earth is and how fragile it is. We were inundated with smoke, causing harmful air conditions. And so we're reminded of the fragility of earth, of the reality of global warming. And we're reminded of the things that we must do and pay attention to, and certainly not take our earth for granted. We pray all of these things, seeking oh so deeply to be obedient to you, the giver of life for all the world. Amen. You and I are a part of a special family. We are descendants of Abraham. We are part of the family of Jesus. We were called to be a blessing, not just to ourselves, but to the entire world. And so we give of our offerings, our tithes, and our gifts as an expression of sharing blessedness. And so we now receive those gifts.
Thank you.
Loving God, it is no small thing that so many have given of their hearts and of their hands, have given so much and have entrusted it to you. God, help us as stewards of these gifts to be worthy of that trust. Help us to use these gifts in ways that further your good news of love for all people. Help us to use them in ways that honor you and honor who you have called us to be. All of these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Before you leave the sanctuary this morning, don't forget the most important part, to greet one another, to share with one another the peace of Christ. Find someone that perhaps you haven't seen in a while or have never met. Let them know you are glad they are here. Then head downstairs. Don't forget about the myriad of opportunities that await you down there after service. Now, I suspect when you leave this building today, you will know where you are going. At least I hope you do. But the truth is, none of us know where this life of faith will take us. But I hope that you do know that as you go, you do not do so alone. We take with us this day and every day the love of God, the peace of Christ, and the power of God's Holy Spirit. May you feel it, and may it accompany you as you go. Amen.